Giving honor and praise to our Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
We give thanks, for He is mighty, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. I am thankful unto the Lord that He has saved me. That song that the choir sang, bless my soul. To God be the glory for the great things He has done. I know, looking at me, it may be hard to believe that I wasn't always saved. But the Lord has did wonderful things and brought me, and I'm sure some of y'all can identify what I'm talking about, out of darkness and brought him into his marvelous light. If you've been in darkness for a period of time and then light's exposed to you, it illuminates you. Now you can see that in my past, without Jesus, I was heading on a pathway to hell. Does anyone here understand what I'm trying to say to you? But because of the saving power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. That means we're no longer under that penalty of sin. So we give honor and praise, and to God be the glory for the great things that He has done. And I'm not just talking about things that He's done in the past. I'm talking about even right now. I don't know. I know I'm not on my sermon yet. I just got stirred up when I heard that song. Because when I think about the goodness of the Lord and the land called living, and in spite of me, He's still on the throne and He still cares for me. To God be the glory. I don't know. I'm getting excited. I'm exciting my own self because I'm thinking about the glory of God and how powerful that glory really is. I mean, He's able to change and save and sanctify and give hope and give peace and give comfort. To God be the glory. I'm going to pray right now. I'm sorry. Just Lord, Heavenly Father, we give honor to You, Lord. We thank You, O God, for You being God and being God all by Yourself, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You didn't have to be voted in, Lord. You didn't have to be elected, O God. Before the foundations of this world, there was You, God. So we honor You for being the head of our lives. We thank You, Lord, for what You're doing even now, Lord. And we pray, Father God, as we move forward in Your service, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit, O God, would rest, rule, and abide. And I pray, Lord, that You would speak through this vessel, Lord, of clay, so that You may be able to be manifested here in this place, Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we just praise You and give thanks in advance for what You're about to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. We give honor to the Lord. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to be here to minister the Word of God to God's people. I had a host of people with me, but as you heard, that mountain over there, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There was a little snow, just a little bit, but it was a little intimidating to some of the people. Some people connected to our ministry who's driving are from Florida. So they're not used to snow and whatnot, and I'm not really too comfortable with it either, but their anxiety levels were kind of high. They didn't think they could press on, and I was kind of saying, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can't do it. Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to trust You, Lord. So we sent them back, make sure, because you know, I have a responsibility to make sure the members of our ministry are safe, praise the Lord. But for me and my family, we're going to go ahead and press on to the high calling in Christ Jesus. And the Lord called us here today, and so we're here. We thank God for that. So I say all that to say this. If you're able to, please turn to your Bibles. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to be reading to you the first 10 verses of this book here. And if you're able to, I'm going to ask you please to stand for the reading of God's Word. in reverence of Him and His Word. And the Word of the Lord is read. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoice in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So the barren have borne seven, and she hath many children as wax feeble. The Lord killed and made alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit of the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall the thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the king and exalt the horn of his anointed." And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated in his presence. Amen. So we give honor to God for his word. And we're going to, in the spirit of thanksgiving, this is a season of thanksgiving. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. But sometimes those days are hard and difficult. Can I get a witness? Walking with the Lord isn't always as pleasant as we think it should be because of life and the circumstances. Am I right about it? Has anyone had any struggle with walking with Jesus besides me? Amen. I'm in the right place. My pastor taught me I got to know my audience. Amen. So we thank God for even in the midst of struggle, we have Jesus. So for a subject or a theme I would like to present to you today is gratitude after the conflict. Gratitude after the conflict. I just read here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting in the first verse, that there is a woman by the name of Hannah who is doing what? She is exalting and magnifying the Lord our God. She exults because of the salvation that she has received because of him. But I think it's very important for us to understand why she is exalting the Lord. Are you still with me? You see, when we go back to chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, we will see that Hannah was put in a situation to where she learned how and why she should appreciate the Lord her God. If you go back there, I'm gonna attempt to skim through a couple of key verses to support some points that I have for you. The points are conflicted within, conflicted with others, and conflicted with God. Conflicted within, conflicted with others, and conflicted with God. Those of us that go through conflict here today, we ought to be grateful for the conflict. Because usually, if there's a conflict going on, this is what the Lord uses to purify us and to make us complete. Have you ever been through a conflict and on the opposite of the conflict, it didn't feel good? It didn't look good? And there was nothing good about it because you were in conflict? But because you held on to God's unchanging hand and went through the conflict, you now can see that this too worked for my good. I know when we approach the conflict, sometimes some of us want to run. Some of us want to avoid the conflict. Some of us want to bring the conflict to another person. Am I right about it? But I want to encourage you here on this morning that when conflict comes your way, grab hold of it and try to find the Lord in the midst of it. Because the Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love God, the call according to His purpose. And this conflict is designed to develop a place for you to be complete in Him. How else would you get some of those shortcomings and defects off of your life? The Lord I serve, He doesn't just come down with a magic wand and just zing us, you know, into healing. Am I right about it? Is there some things that you got to go through to receive that healing that God has for you? So we're going to look at Hannah and some of the things that she went through to get in this place where she's praising and glorifying God. Amen. So the Bible says here in this first chapter of Samuel that Hannah was married to a man by the name of, and excuse me if I pronounce the name wrong, Elkaniah. Now, Elkaniah had a wife, and had two wives. Hannah was one, and the other wife was, what's her name? Peninnah, right? Peninnah, thank you. Right? So, the Bible says here, in the beginning of this chapter, in the book of 1 Samuel, that Hannah was unable to bear children. Right? Her counterpart, Elkaniah's other wife, was fruitful, and she was able to bear children. Right? So right there is our first example of a conflict within a family. Are you still with me? You see, now we're looking at the situation here, and the Bible says here that in verse 5 of this book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5 says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion." This is Elkaniah. Elkaniah would go up and to worship the Lord. And we believe that time of worshiping before the Lord was during the Passover. Right? So he would worship the Lord, and afterwards he would come back to the house. And he would bestow blessing upon the first wife with the children. And he also gave a blessing to Hannah. The Bible says here that, verse 5, "Unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he had loved her, but the Lord had shut up her womb." So he was, Elkaniah gave to Peninnah, right, blessings, but he also gave to his wife, Hannah, in some translation it says, a double portion of blessing, right? Because why? Because he loved her. She was unable to produce children for him. However, he had love for her. Let's not get this twisted, but at the same time, while her husband is loving her, the Lord shut up her womb. The Bible says in Psalms that, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." So, if that's the truth, because it's God's word, that children are a gift from God. And it says here that this is a reward. So the husband loves Hannah, but the Lord himself has shut down her womb. Are you still with me? So if I'm Hannah and I'm in that place, I'm going to feel conflicted within. On one side, I'm caught up in two different opinions, and both are true. On one side, my husband, if I was her, loves me. But on the other side, the Lord has not shown any fruit from my womb. Conflicts within. During seasons and times of gratitude, there ought to be a response that would show forth that we are thankful and grateful unto God. However, if we allow our internal conflicts to become more prevalent, then our faith and belief in God, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be more difficult for us to show any sense of gratitude. If we look at Hannah, who she didn't do anything wrong. She was just put in this situation. In my imagination, I could see her feeling perhaps sorry for herself. Has anyone here ever been in a place where you're conflicted by two different opinions about you? And you have a tendency to maybe feel sorry for yourself. Has anyone here ever been in that place where you're feeling that you're getting hit from both sides? You are blessed and you know you're blessed, but at the same time, you're still struggling. I'm talking about these internal conflicts that we may have from day to day. These things, if we're not careful, can come and take away our joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is what?
Our strength.
Our strength. And if we fail to recognize where our power and strength comes from, it's going to be fairly difficult for us to walk in the joy of the Lord. Are you still with me? I'm talking about being able to catch yourself in the midst of the conflict, the internal conflict that you may have, and try to the best of your ability to readjust your thinking about the situation. Being able to look at this and to, I'm just going to say this and we're going to move on to the next point here. That I'm sure all of you all have a point of reference. I'm sure if you look back over your life, I'm not talking about situations with the family. I'm not talking about situations within the church or situations on the job. I'm talking about internal situations that you've already gone through. Is there a witness? And because you went through these situations and you've seen the hand of the Lord give you victory over you. I'm not talking about anything else, but I'm talking about victory over yourself. I'm talking about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm talking about walking in a realm of faith where it doesn't even make any sense to why you still exhibit the joy of the Lord. I'm sure some of you have a point of reference where God has shown himself already mighty and strong because of your faith in him. I don't know who I'm talking to. I may be just talking to myself this morning. But don't give up hope when you're conflicted within yourself. Don't throw in the towel when things become difficult in between these 2 years. I want to encourage the body of Christ here on this morning to allow the situation that you're going through right now to propel you into your future and into your destiny. Give thanks unto the Lord, even when things appear to be difficult inside. Praise his holy name, just because he's God, even when things are hard and difficult. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Right now, it's not time to quit. Right now, I know that it just doesn't seem fair. I know you can't deal with the pain that comes with being barren, having a void in your life. Anyone here have ever had a void in your life? A place of darkness, a place of no hope, a place of no fruit. But I want to encourage you to speak to yourself. I was reading about David the other day, and the Bible says that David took some people out to battle, and when they came back, the enemy came in and took the wives and the children, right? And the people that he took out with him to battle, they turned on him and were going to blame him for what happened. But the Bible says that David at that point did what? He encouraged himself. Are you able in the midst of conflict within yourself to reach down to the soles of your spirit and encourage yourself through the battles within. I'm grateful unto the Lord that He's given me a point of reference that I have the ability to dictate how long I stay in my conflict. Oh, I'm talking to myself now. I gotta grab myself by the bootstraps and get myself together. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't know if anyone can hear what I'm saying to you, but I'm excited today because we have a way out of the problems that we go through internally. As we move on into this story here, we're talking about Hannah, and we're talking about her husband loving her, but she's also barren. Her counterpart, Peninnah, notices that she's not bearing children either, right? She sees that Hannah is not producing kids, right? So if we look here, in verse 6 and 7, right, it says, "And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." So what this is saying is that this other wife of Elkanah would provoke Hannah because she was not bearing children. We look at this word provoked, agitated, or stirred up by someone to anger in a what? Personal way. I know it's hard dealing with you sometimes, but what happens when you have to deal with people that make your life that much more difficult? I know there would be nothing like that going on in this church, but I'm saying outside when you're out living life and you're doing what you're doing, you run up against people that make your life difficult, right? We're talking about being conflicted with others, right? When you feel something happen inside of you that stirs up anger, that stirs up strife within yourself. The Bible says here that Hannah, she wept and did not eat. To me, that sounds like depression. Has anyone here ever felt depressed before?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever felt that you just can't make it? I'm talking about even knowing God and knowing that you're loved by others, but still feeling because of the stress and pressures of life that you just can't go on anymore. Well, if that's you, you're in the right place on today. For the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking but be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." See, that's good news right there, folks. That's good news. I know it hurts, and I know you're conflicted. You're doing the best you can, and you feel as if maybe on some levels someone is agitating you on purpose. Maybe you feel that someone's trying to provoke you on purpose, even to the point that maybe it's leading you down a road we call depression. But it says here, through this word right here, it says that we have to stand up and do what the Lord tells us to do. You see, one thing I've learned, that when you fall into situations to where you're feeling provoked by others, that we have to what? Forgive. Forgiveness is for you. The Lord commands us to forgive, but forgiveness is for the person who releases it. I know you're looking at me funny. Have you ever held on to unforgiveness? Have you ever walked around with bitterness in your heart? And you're walking around and you're feeling all these things, and the person that you're angry with is free. They're walking around just doing their thing, and here you are feeling some type of way because they walked into the room. You see, when you release forgiveness towards another person, amen, that releases you from the tricks of the adversary. These are tricks that Satan would put on our path to lead us astray. But the Lord Himself has given us a way out And it only works if we practice this. Right? It says here too in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 23 and 24. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And a Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Being patient when you're wrong. Being able to endure a season. Because you know you're right, right? You're always right, aren't you? But being patient in the midst of the wrong. Being kind to one another, even when you don't feel like it. I know no one here would be dictated by their feelings. And I know everyone here is obedient to the word and practices it all the time. Am I right about it? Go ahead, shake your head. Yeah. But the Lord is telling us here on today that no matter what happens, you have to know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's good news. That doesn't say that the weapon's not going to form. But no matter what comes your way, it will not prosper if we practice His word. And every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned. So I want to encourage you that you're conflicted because that you're feeling some pressure from the world and you're feeling a conflict from other people. You got to hold on to His word. You got to read God's word. And most important, this is the hard part, we got to practice God's word so that we get the victory, because the end result is we want to give praise to the Lord. We want to be thankful unto God. How hard is it to give God praise when you're angry? Have you ever been there? You in a worship service and everyone's got their hands lifted up or whatever. They're praising the Lord. You got a resentment. During this season, during this time, it's time to get rid of all these conflicts. We're going to move on here, right? I see, we're going to move on. So it says here that even in the midst of what she was going through, Hannah had a sense to bring her cares and her concerns to the Lord. Even though she was feeling provoked, she may have been feeling depressed, there was something about her that she knew that she could no longer carry this heavy load. So the Bible says that she went and she prayed unto God. She prayed in a way that didn't make any sense to Eli, the priest. He didn't understand. He thought maybe she was drunk. Because in the manner in which she prayed, her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. I know sometimes you gotta press into God the way that you press into God. I understand that the way you get connection with God may not make sense to someone who is watching you. But I gotta tell you, it's not about other people. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the deacon. It's not about the guest preacher. It's all about your relationship with the Lord. It's all about you making a decision that, you know what, I'm tired of dealing with this. This load that I'm carrying is heavy. And I got to get a breakthrough some way, somehow. Is anyone here tired of dealing with the conflicts that you're currently dealing with? If you would bring your cares and your concerns unto the Lord, He is faithful. He is just, and He loves you, that He's going to do what? He's going to hear your prayer. But you gotta bring it to Him. It doesn't matter who's around. It doesn't matter of the opinions of others. I want to encourage the body of Christ here on today that whatever you have heavy on your heart, bring it to Jesus. I want to encourage you that don't let anything steal your joy. Don't allow your own self in the conflicts that you have And don't let your conflicts with other people keep you. The Bible says, we look to the hills where cometh our help. Knowing that our help cometh from the Lord. Oh, I want to encourage you here on today. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it may feel, get up off that thing and bring it to the Lord. I want to encourage you to not just bring it to the Lord, but also leave it with God. It says here in verses 10 and 11, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thee handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah was distressed. She was suffering from anxieties, sorrow, or pain. But even in the midst of how she was feeling, there was something inside of her knew that she had to bring all of this to the Lord. It says here in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Psalms 37, 4 and 6, 4 through 6 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as light and your judgment as noonday. Delight yourself. If you delight yourself in the Lord, you're making a decision that you're going to enjoy who he is and everything that he represents. If you delight yourself in the Lord, shortly thereafter, you're going to commit your ways unto his way. Am I right about it? Has anyone delighted themselves in the Lord because of what he has done and what he's doing? You can't help but give him praise. And because of all these things, you have made a decision that I just won't make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but I'm going to also make him a Savior and submit my life unto him. Does anyone here have ever committed their ways unto God?
Absolutely.
You said, you know what? I know I'm going through a difficult situation right now, but I know that the Lord himself didn't save me to leave me right here. Is there a witness in the building that knows that after you commit yourself to God, that doesn't mean that life's going to automatically just get better? I'm going to say that. Sometimes we got to go through some things to get to a place where we will grow and mature as sanctified, blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled believers. We give honor and praise to him. If you would just delight yourself in the Lord and you would deal with your conflicts. And sometimes, I know probably no one here under this roof would do this, but sometimes our conflict is with God.
Right.
Have you ever wanted something? And because you wanted it, you thought you should have it? Oh, I'm the only one? Okay. Yeah. Because I wanted it, and because I've been faithful, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to be faithful unto you, Lord. I think I should be able to have what I want. Have you ever been in a place where you set yourself up and the Lord says, no? Have you ever been in a place with conflict with God and the Lord says, that's not for you? And sometimes, and even in that, that is a blessing. Because we don't know what's good for us. Oh, come on now. I see you all looking at me. I know you think you know what's really good for you. But the fact of the matter, He is supreme. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything that we need, and He knows what's best for us. So sometimes conflict may arise. Sometimes conflict may stir up. And guess what? If we have a conflict with God, I can tell you, we're the one who's wrong. Because why? Because God is perfect. His will is perfect. And we have a problem with His will. That means we have a problem with who? Him. But really, I'm having a problem with me not accepting the will of God for my life. I know you guys have went through that already, and you came out, and you understand God's will is perfect. You never want what you want because you know God has everything under control. But some of us are still in process. Amen. Is anyone else here still in process besides me? All right. Whew. Got me nervous thinking I was the only one. The truth of the matter is that the Lord Himself had Hannah go through all these situations, and then she prayed unto the Lord. And the Bible says here, it says here in verses 19 and 20. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, which means, you know what it means. And the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time. After Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. In this case, in this situation, when Hannah asked of the Lord heard her prayer. At the time of the situation, she was barren. And because she couldn't see the end result, if I put myself in Hannah's shoes, I may be thinking, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have a child? But the Lord, His ways are perfect. 1 John 5 and 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask of anything according to His will, He hears us. We have to have confidence that when we bring things to God, when He says yes or no, it's all connected to His will for our lives. We have to have a boldness and a confidence to overcome the thoughts that go through our minds and the feelings that arise in our bodies. That even though I brought this to the Lord, He knows what's best for me. See, this confidence is built up by this word pistis in Greek that means faith. See, when we have faith in God, when we believe Him at His word, when we surrender our lives completely to Him, when we commit our ways to His ways, then we can be confident to believe that, okay, Lord, maybe You said no, or maybe You said yes, but You know better than I do. You see, all this leads up when we end up this first chapter of Samuel. Her son is born, and she brings her son to the tabernacle and gives him. Because she said, Lord, if You do this for me, I'm going to submit him to be a worker for the kingdom of God. See, that's what God wants from all of us. He wants us to surrender our lives and to submit to His way and become workers in His kingdom. He wants us to serve Him in spirit and in truth. See, after she did these things, she was able to see what a mighty God she serves. After she seen and witnessed the power of God, not just hear, but also answer her prayer, then we can go into chapter 2 where she begins to exalt Him and to magnify Him and to glorify Him and to give her honor and praise after she went through her conflict. Now, I want to encourage you here today. I don't know who you may be. I don't know what you're going through. But I want to encourage you on today to lay hold of this conflict that you may be having. Lay hold of the situation that you may be having. Release a measure of faith to believe God will hear and answer your prayer. And praise Him now, even now, when you're going through the situation, having enough confidence to know that God knows best. I want to encourage you here as we wrap this word up here, that during this season of Thanksgiving, in case you forgot, let me tell you that the devil himself, Satan, he is a liar.
Yes, he is.
He comes up against the righteousness of God.
Yes, he does.
He seeks to see who he can steal, kill, and destroy. Because he's already been defeated.
That's right.
For those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we have the victory. Those of us that believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and we commit our faith to that, we too have the victory even now in the midst of our conflicts. I want to encourage you here on today to build up confidence in the Word of God, in your Lord and Savior, knowing that He Himself, there's nothing that gets by Him. He knows everything. And if you are at fault, which some of us are at times, amen, it's okay because the Bible says that He's also what? Married to the backslider. So we have an opportunity, even here, even today, if you're wrong, to repent from any ungodliness and righteousness, to give up your will and your way, and to recommit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we're talking about here is having some gratitude after the conflict. And ultimately, the greatest conflict that we had was against sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. So that word is powerful. What that does, that gives us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that although on my own I can't get to the Father, the Bible says that in order to get to the Father, I got to do what? Go through the Son. And because I had made a decision to go through the Son, the Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. And because I make a decision to go through the Son to get to the Father, my sin, which I can't even, I can't save myself. I can't free myself. But because of my faith in Jesus, that sin that comes against us, that sin that we were born into, it's all now covered under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, that's the ultimate place we gotta get ourselves into. The ultimate conflict that we have is against this world in which we live in the sinfulness of this world. But we have gratitude here on today because of what Jesus did on Calvary. When He died and when He took His last breath, when He got up from the grave with all power in His hand, that power has now been given to us to no longer live by the ways of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we give honor to God today. We give Him praise and glory. Why? Because even though I was in a conflict, even though sin had me bound, the Lord Himself broke the chains. Hallelujah. Because of the Lord Himself made a way out of no way. I no longer have to be a victim of the ways of this world. I am new in Christ. Regardless to the conflicts that I have inside, the conflicts I have with others, and sometimes even my conflict with God. Because of my faith in Christ Jesus. So we praise His name.
Hallelujah.
We give thanks to Him.
Thank
you, Lord. We lift Him high above all things, for He is an awesome God.
Yes,
so put your hands together and give God some praise. Hallelujah. For He is good.